our Evan jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, you know, I don't know what you guys think, but it's been quite a week here at Coach Dave Live, hasn't it? Whatever we call this. I mean, I guess it is Coach Dave Live, but I was just kind of pondering a little bit today. Every day when I get up in the morning and I prepare a show, I kind of go back over the last couple of days. And man, you don't get stuff like this everywhere, do you? You really don't. And that whole thing yesterday, what we got into yesterday was, that is really, really deep, really deep. And I appreciate all of you being out there and hanging in there with me. And when I bring stuff to the table that appears to be somewhat, what's the word we would use? Apostate, not in line with standard biblical teaching, that you give me grace and you're not afraid to talk about it and discuss it. Because it's been my premise from the time that I began the show. Almost, God, are we working on 5 years? However, a long time ago. That we would go where no man will go. That we'll ask the questions and nobody's going to ask. And that we don't have all the truth. We're searching for truth. We're working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And just trying to make sense of this, this mess that we're in now. This mess. God, we're in something, man. And before I get rolling here too deep, remember I told you the other day about the Holy Spirit saying stuff to me. He said something to me today, just in 30 seconds. Remember, you got to hear that phone go off. You got to hear the voice. I got a lot of things in my head. You do too. Got to be able to capture that one thing that you heard. And here's what I heard, the Holy Spirit. I think it was the Holy Spirit. It said, why? Listen. Why wouldn't Christians deserve punishment? That's what I heard. Now, see, we immediately go to the wrath of God, and God has not appointed us unto wrath. Well, wrath and punishment aren't the same thing. They're not the same. And I love my children. I love my grandchildren, our grandchildren. I love them. My grandchildren are just the cutest, little, sweetest, most unbelievable little things. But you know what? I love them so much. I'm going to punish them when they misbehave. I'm not going to let them get away with bad behavior. It's child abuse to let them get away with bad behavior. And if the Holy Spirit planted that in me, the idea that I need to correct and direct, wouldn't he pattern himself after that same thing? And I think one of the greatest shocks and surprises that we're all going to see is the punishment of God that's about to fall on us. Punishment. Because if God, the old saying, if God doesn't judge America, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. There's a lot of truth in that. But he's a righteous God. It's his very, very nature. It's his very nature. And to think that we can, hear me, Christians I'm talking about. It's Christians, friends. That permit abortion. Christians permit it. How many churches are there in America? How many? I think about the Planned Parenthood there on the east side of Columbus, where Mike Blake and the crew's probably getting lined up and ready to go there even this morning. How many churches are there? How many Christians are there around that Planned Parenthood where we know children are being slaughtered and nobody does anything about it? Nobody. Bible says that for you to know to do good and not to do it, to you it's sin. You say, but Coach, closing that thing down would cause me to do some things that aren't Christian. Well, listen to me. You're confused. You're confused. Somewhere in the scripture it says, tear down, root out, pluck up. Does anybody know where that is? Is that in Isaiah? To tear down, to root up, to pluck, to pull down? to rebuild? Doesn't it say that? I don't know what you guys think, but to tear Jeremiah, down. Thank you. Where in Jeremiah is that?
1:5.
Thank you. Jeremiah 1:5. Could we pull that up here real quick, Jerry? Somewhere around that. Jeremiah 1. Folks, every one of these things here in Jeremiah, they're violent. I'm sorry. They're not loving. They're not kind. Let's see if we get it up there.
Hey, Coach.
See, I have set thee this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out. Does anybody ever pull out roots? I got these roots growing up at Sky High, these roots of these old thorns. That's why they call it Thornville where I live, these big old thorns that they go down deep. Do you have any idea how hard it is to root those things out? Do you think that's something you do and you put on your knitting outfit and go out and root those things out? No, that's a difficult, hard, violent action to root them out and to pull down. When we were cleaning up Sky High, Ryan Duncan and some others got on that skid steer, Randy's skid steer, and they reached up with that clamp and they grabbed those vines. Do you have any idea how hard it was to pull down those vines out of those trees? Do you have any idea how hard that this, folks, this is not soft labor, okay? It's not. Huh? Look at this. See, I have set thee this day. Oh, you say, oh, he's just talking to Jeremiah. He's just talking to Jeremiah. Okay. Well, if he's just talking to Jeremiah, how do you know when he's talking to you? See, I've set you this day over the nations. Over what? Over the nations. And what are you supposed to do? And over the kingdoms. Oh, them too. Got to root them out. Got to pull them down. Got to destroy them. Got to throw them down. And then build and plant. See, we build and plant without tearing down, rooting out, pulling. We don't do that anymore. The American church does not teach that anymore. And as a result, look at what's going on around us. We are not at all involved in animal husbandry, in cultural husbandry. We have taken our hands off of it. Yeah.
Hey, Coach.
Look at verse 11 real quick.
Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? Jeremiah said, well, I see the rod of an almond tree. The Lord said unto me, you've seen well. Yep, you have seen it well.
So the almond tree is supposed to be the judgment, the staff of judgment, the weapon of God. We're supposed to be the almond tree. Mm. We're supposed to rule nations by tearing out, rooting out, destroying.
Right. None of those soft, easy things, are they, Mark? None of them are, man. It doesn't say, I've set you over the nations today to love on them and share the gospel of Jesus with them and do friendship evangelism. Folks, that is not what it says. We're at a war. We're at war. Yeah, come on in, Larry.
Yeah, on an individual basis, you know, the Bible clearly says God disciplines those whom he loves.
Yep, yep.
And it clearly says he loves those who obey him. So if you're not experiencing the discipline of God when you step out of his line, then maybe you're not one of his.
Well, how about this one, Larry? And I don't want to get into a deep theological discussion on this one because I really hadn't even, excuse me, planned to go here. This escapism, to me, if there's anybody responsible for this mess, it's Christians.
Amen, Coach.
And
Amen.
why do Christians get to be, why do Christians not have to pay the piper?
We know better. Of course we have to pay.
Yeah, we should have all, right? We should have all.
Trying to tell yourself that calls itself the body of Christ isn't responsible for most of the mess we're in is delusion. And if you feel like that delusion, then you'll get a stronger delusion from God. Now, you know, it's interesting. God's word says to work out your own salvation. It does not say grace out your own salvation.
Yep. Well, I don't want to beat this horse too much because we talk about this every day here on the show, but we have to. We need the greatest mind correction in the history of the world. Christians do. To understand the times in which we live and know what it is that we need to do. I'm going to jump into it here, not right now, but you know, there's huge. folks, there are big issues with our food. I'm gonna dive into some of that here in a second. I don't want to get into it. Why would we deserve? And I don't know about you guys. I'm looking at what's going on in Portland, and I look at what's going on in Seattle, and I'm watching all that looting and rioting. And I watch it. And you know what the question is I ask myself when I watch that? Why didn't somebody stop that? Why doesn't somebody stop it? And then I look at the culture and I say, why doesn't somebody stop that? And whose job is it? Same thing. So you point the fingers at governors and mayors and point the fingers at them. They're supposed to do something about this. Well, who's the one at the end of the day, who's the one accountable? Who's going to stand before the Lord and give an account for what happened here? Who is? Say, well, Coach, we're under grace. Yeah, I get it.
Coach, it's the people complying with the false gods.
It is.
That is making the other Christians fall in line. They wouldn't otherwise, but they have to deal with their peers.
Mm-hmm.
Which is way more difficult than dealing with the untouchable, out of the place government or president or somebody.
Right, right.
And that's what it is. Peer pressure. You brought it up the other day. Somebody did.
Yep. That's why it's important for us to stand up and speak up, because ultimately, hey, I'm the gatekeeper. I don't know about you. I'm a watchman. It's happening on my watch.
Amen.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
We are watchmen. And we're responsible. Go ahead, John.
We're going to do more than watch. Got to do more than watch.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Gary.
Yeah. What I would be curious to ask is, remember the Operation Rescue with the, where they were blocking Planned Parenthoods and doing, things of that nature back in the 80s and uh-huh. I think 90. What happened to all of that action since then?
Well, I could get guys on right now, could tell you, Rusty Thomas and some others who are very, very intimately a part of it. And they would tell you the truth.
Right now, Coach.
What's that?
I said, I'm here.
Well, we blinked, right, Dale? The church blinked.
They upped the ante, Coach. Let's just be honest. They upped the ante. They say you do it now, it's a RICO charge, and you'll go to jail on a federal offenses, and it was no more about a $25 fine, revolving door.
Yep. So once they upped the ante to where you had to go to jail for 6 months and pay a $10,000 fine and maybe close down your church, then baby murder didn't become quite so bad. It wasn't quite so bad anymore, right? That's the truth. And so, I shudder every day. What was it? Was it Ben Franklin or Thomas Jefferson or one of them said that that God's justice cannot sleep forever. I shudder. We should shudder when we think about that. That those of us I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and that His justice cannot sleep forever. And who's He going to come to? He's going to come to those of us that He told to occupy till He returns. Those are the ones that are going to be held responsible for it.
Amen, Coach.
And we don't get it. How's that going to appear? I don't know. I don't know.
Hey, Coach,
who
upped the ante?
What's that?
Who upped the ante? Who increased the cost of the game?
The devil, I think. Or it could have been the Lord.
Yeah, somebody up. Absolutely, Coach. Cannon Hinnad. You heard that name, Cannon Hinnad?
Yes.
He's a 5-year-old kid. He's not with us anymore, Coach.
Just blew him away, and they won't do any. There's no media coverage of it at all. None of it at all. None of it.
Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Do I need to go over the schedule today? Does everybody know what's going on? I want to, Mike or Jared, let's go there real quickly. Just real quickly, because I want to point out a couple things that might be new on the schedule. We're doing the one here in Ohio. There's a Maryland Salt and Light Brigade one coming up on the 22nd. I got an email from somebody today. From Clay. Clay wouldn't mind if I used his name. Clay said, Coach, I don't know what to do here. He said, I want to get to all these things, but I can't get to all these things. And he said, golly, should I get to all of them or should I donate to support them? And I said, hey, Clay, you got to do both, man. Got to do both. That's the truth. And this is so simple. I thank God. I go to the post office every day, and you wouldn't believe the little $20 donation. I don't mean little. The $20 donations that we get, $10, $20. Those are what keep us going here. It's what keeps us going. And if everybody did that, Clay, if everybody gave $20 a month, everybody listening to the show, a dollar a day, we'd be kicking some serious butt. We'd be able to do more things than we're currently doing. But we do the best we can with what we have. We're going to be in Maryland. We're going to be in Kentucky. We're going to Bob and Tammy were down here yesterday cleaning up some trees, did some work down here. We got the Warriors Summit September 4th. We have the September 11th Emergency Prepared and Technical Event up for Rob Pugh up in Wisconsin. I'm not going to run through these things, but these things we go regionally, folks. We try to take what we do to you. We try to bring it to you. Okay, that's what we try to do. We have the Pennsylvania boot camp. Well, there's one in North Carolina. Sorry, I missed that one, Polly. The 19th, we're going to be down in North Carolina, down to Barney Fife country. We're going to do a one-day event down there. Then the next one, slide on down. This stuff's all at our website. Pennsylvania boot camp at Gettysburg, September, that next weekend, September 25th, at my daughter Abby's birthday. I thought I'd throw that one in there. And then we got a lot going on. And we're doing all this in the face of who knows what's going to happen next. You know, Joe Biden got in there and said he wants to make masks mandatory everywhere we go. And we still don't get it. See, we still don't get it. We don't see masks are going to be made mandatory. And then what are you going to do when they up the ante? Just like they did with the abortion, they up the ante. Oh, you came in here today and didn't wear a mask. Let me tell you something. You come in here tomorrow without a mask, you ain't buying food. Why? Because here, look, here's an order from President Biden, executive order. You're not buying food. You don't put that mask on. And then you say, oh, how can we live? They've been doing it to us for six stinking months.
Incrementally. And that's how they do it, inch by inch. Don't let them take one more bloody inch.
Yep. So we're in a mess because we have no organized opposition. You know, we have no.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Jack.
You'd shared it last week on who has the power over the church. And because we have relinquished that, the only power that the church had was because of Christ Jesus. And when we've relinquished that, brother, we have no power. We have no authority. Brother, we are clouds without rain.
Amen.
All authority, folks, hear me, is delegated. Any authority you have because somebody else gave it to you. In fact, Jesus, when he stood in front of Pilate says, don't you know I have the power to crucify you or release you? And what did Jesus say? He said, no, I'm sorry. Pardon me, Mr. Pilate. You have no power over me. Unless, he said, it had been given to you from on high. All power is delegated. So the church has to ask ourselves, we as Christians have to ask ourselves, who's our power source? Does our delegated power come from the government? Does the government have the right to tell us when we can open church and when we can close church? Does the government have can the government delegate that power to us? Well, of course not, right? No. Because all of our power comes from what? From God. We have delegated power directly from God over the government. We still can't get conceptions of this. We cannot get conception. And the happiest day is going to be when they line them up by the thousands, not happy. It's coming. When they lie Christian pastors up by the thousands and shoot them. That is coming, folks. Because why? The government will have no other God before them. Remember this. The devil counterfeits everything. Jesus said, I'll have no other God before me. And the church delegated power to the government. And now the government's saying, hey, I'll have no other power before me. Ain't going to be no God telling me what to do here. You guys yielded all that power. You gave us all the power. And we ain't giving it back. It's kind of what, therefore, kind of what Ezekiel, it is.
Chapter, Ezekiel 3 plays out, Coach. We are the watchmen and the warners, and we refuse to warn the people and do anything about it. God says, not only does that judgment fall on them, he goes, but that blood I will require of you also, watchmen.
Yep, I'm telling you, I'm not trying to be doom and gloom because I'm a happy, optimistic guy, but I see where this thing's heading. Let me tell you this. You broke up bad, really badly, Jack. Still breaking up.
Oh, crap.
Really badly. Hey, folks, I'm going to tell you this. Joe Biden has no chance of winning. No chance. He has no chance of winning. Don't believe the lies. Now, but that's why they're so dangerous. They're either going to steal it, they're going to cheat, they're going to overthrow the government, they're going to do a false flag, they're going to do something. They know he has no chance of winning. All right? No chance. No matter how much they lie about the polls, they don't have a chance. So these are really, really desperate times. And they're going to allow it to be done with the approval of the church, by the way. Some of this. See, the church still is, oh, well, God.
The church and legalese, all working together, multi-party.
Sometimes I wish I'd just shut up and let you guys go, because, oh, man.
It's frustrating. Coach.
Okay,
it's
so frustrating. Hang on. So let's go here. I want to say this. I got a nice call from Randy yesterday. I got a nice call from Brian yesterday. I get nice calls. I didn't mean that to sound the way that I did. And Randy thanked me for not being afraid to touch these untouchable subjects. And I thanked him, but I said, listen, here's where I am. I'm after the truth. And I've never been a guy who believes something just because somebody told me that. Never, ever, 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 ever. There have been many times I sat in church and heard a pastor preach a powerful message. And it was really, really powerful and it moved me, but he was wrong. Do you know that lies can move you just the same? Now, listen, he wasn't lying. He had a misunderstanding. And because he had a misunderstanding, he preached something that wasn't true. Moved me. Sounded good. Sounded true, but it wasn't true. Anybody say amen? Do anybody know what I'm talking about? And so at 60 years old, 61, 60, whatever, at some point in my life, I said, I ain't following that tripe anymore. I'm sorry. I'm just not going to. And I'm not going to go into church and I'm not going to sit there and believe it because that guy in the pulpit tells me he's an expert. If he's an expert, why won't he dive into some of these other things that I'm seeing? Because listen, boys, I can do it with the best of them. Here's the old Bible. I can get in here. I can tell a story about a dog will make a cat cry. I can preach out of this thing. But I can also preach out of this thing stuff that doesn't have anything to do with anything that's going on. We have to be very, very careful that our preaching isn't just emotional. This makes us feel good. Oh, boy, I got fed today. Really? Fed to do what?
Coach.
Yeah.
Bottom line is those who go around preaching out of this that's not related to, not the truth, Jesus Christ.
People, Larry, they're not preaching false stuff on purpose.
There is not one good, Coach.
You understand what I'm saying?
What you're doing is you're parroting the teaching of the church that everybody's a child of God when you say they're good people, because if they are not following truth, they are not good. That's why we're told to discern good from evil.
Doesn't make you a bad person, Larry. Doesn't make you a bad person.
It does. It makes you a bad person able to come to the good side.
Larry,
I'm
talking about motives. I'm talking about motives. They're not purposefully deceiving people. Motives. Let's go quickly here. Iowa. Pull Iowa up here. I wonder how many of you have seen that. How many of you have seen this? Pull this up, Jared. Iowa. Let me see. I lost you on my screen. There we go. Hurricane force storm in Iowa flattens 10 million acres of crops. A powerful derecho storm that swept through the Midwest. Didn't hear much about this, did you? Anybody heard much about it? Has left thousands of acres of crops completely devastated. And officials say more than 500,000 people could be without power for quite a while. 112 mile per hour winds came through. Washington Post reports between 180 and 270 million bushels of corn were likely damaged or destroyed. 270 million. Where do we get our corn? Storm left one man dead. Blah, blah, blah. Let's look at some of these photos down here, Jarek. Folks, that's corn flattened. All eight of my cornfields look like this, flat, and quite a bit of it just snapped in half. You say, well, they can just go out and pick it like that. No, it's not a full crop yet. Scroll on down. Yeah, they show a house blown 117 mile an hour. It's like a hurricane out in the Midwest. Houses destroyed. You know, we're not hardly hearing anything about it. Grain bins. Look at that. Look at those grain bins, folks. On and on and on. Okay.
Dave?
Yeah.
That picture right there, even if they didn't lose all of their, you know, well, what crops that are left, they can't even take them in now and store them in those dryers to sell them.
We're not hearing much about this, are we, folks? We're not hearing very much about it. What's going on? Could this be, again, God tightening the screws? You say, Coach, we'll be out of here before that happens. We'll be out of here. Really? Really? So, you know, I got some things I could dive in here. And Craig, I know it's funny because I was preparing this stuff and I got an email from Craig sending me some other things about it. And there's something going on with the food. Folks, there's something going on with the food. Craig, jump in here real quickly and just kind of, I got a couple of videos I could show. Something going on.
This is global, Coach. And yep. What's happening in China is so significant, and that's not really getting any play time. And that's been since the 1st of June. They're on like their fifth or sixth major flooding event. And 15 to 20% of their crops are gone. Last year, they lost 50% of their swine. That's more swine than, because of swine flu, that's more swine than what we have in the whole United States. And they got 1.4 billion people that they need to feed. And the rains, which normally start ending about now for their monsoon, are still going on. And you'll hear there's another hurricane or another monsoon that's getting ready to hit them. And so that's put a lot of strain on the global food supply. And then you add the locusts that are happening over in the Middle East and India. And all this is going to impact us for several years. And now it's starting to happen here in the United States. And one of the concerns that I have is that these are events that happen along grand solar minimum. In other words, you start living more in the extreme weather than you do the normal weather. Mm-hmm. And it's a global event. It's not just, you know, a bad thing that happened here. Or, you know, there's a drought over here. These are global effects going around the globe. And, you know, what we don't even grasp sometimes is, if you remember last year, we had all that flooding in our Mississippi. Right. We lost 40% of our stored grain. You know, 40% of the stored grain in the whole United States wiped out last year because the farmers were holding that grain because they were trying to do this deal with China. Trump was trying to negotiate and had all these sanctions. So they were trying to play the game and say, if I hold my grain long enough, I'll be able to get more money for it. Yep. Well, that backfired because the floods wiped out 40% of our stored grain. So we're operating at a deficit, and this is going to impact us. And all you have to do is go to a restaurant now and buy a little cheap hamburger for $12, and you're seeing it happen.
It's happening, folks, and it's something that's going to, you know, whether we want to admit it or not, it's going to impact us all. Hey, Jared, pull up, make sure I got the right thing there. Evidence. Pull up evidence there, Jared. I'm sorry. Yes, Jared, and it's not like evidence. Why don't you pull this up, folks?
Hey, Coach, one more. This is a spiritual point. First, there's a famine of the word. Then there's the famine of the food. We've already had the famine of the word because we have not studied it and taken it to heart. Now we're getting ready to have the famine of food. That's the pattern in the Old Testament.
Amen. And so what I have here, I have a video here. I don't know this guy. He's at 85,000 views. But he says that the states are secretly stockpiling food. The states are. They're taking the food. Remember they told us not to hoard it? Remember they told us not to? It's because they are. Go ahead and play just a little bit of this, Jared.
Gentlemen, the states are stockpiling food, tons of it. We're learning now, suddenly. After months of being told everything's fine, there's no need for you to panic. In fact, they've discouraged you from buying goods. And remember, they even blamed the shortages of canned goods that we've seen in the store on you for buying too many canned goods. But it turns out that was all bollocks. Now we're learning the states have been stockpiling. This report from the Seattle Times, from peanut butter to applesauce, Washington State stockpiles tons of food. Why? For the need ahead. Because they know there are massive interruptions to our supply chain already, that these are escalating, that there are cascading failures building on themselves, that there are harvest labor failures coming in, and that there will be food shortages directly ahead for all of us. It's also baked into the plan. So it's no surprise that they're preparing for this. And look at the language they're using. These canned beans in the stockpiles are sitting there like soldiers waiting to be sent into duty. Even the language they're using tells us this is a food wars situation. And I want to talk about that. I'm Christian, and this is the Ice Age Farmer broadcast.
What you're looking at here in this Fife warehouse is about 1,200 pallets of food.
The purpose of this is to provide sort of a reservoir for shelf-stable food that is entering the system to support our hunger prevention efforts around the state.
Derek Sanderson, director of the Washington State Department of Agriculture, toured the state's new COVID strategic reserve on Friday. Within 48 hours of communities asking for help, these pallets can be placed on trucks and distributed to food pantries across the state. The focus is on stockpiling foods like canned vegetables, peanut butter, items that don't spoil easily. During the early days of the pandemic, they were also hard to come by at times as folks hoarded items, left store shelves bare, and disrupted the supply chain.
Yes, see, it's still your fault. You hoarded all those items, and that's why we have to go to all the trouble to fill up this warehouse from floor to ceiling. I really just wanted to share those images so you get the sense of what it looks like to see that much food. Look at the floor to ceiling. All right, so the article from the Seattle Times goes on to describe how the Washington State Department of Agriculture began to stockpile and prepare back in mid-April. Ladies and gentlemen, that's over 4 months ago. We're only now hearing about this, and moreover, we're certainly not hearing about this from any other place in the United States.
Okay, Jared,
States.
You can cut it off.
Find out about stockpile.
So listen, folks, what better? Please understand this. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now, could somebody complete the antagonist to that, the opposite of that? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. What would be the opposite of that?
Where the Spirit,
where the Spirit of the Lord isn't, there is no freedom.
There is no freedom.
Bondage.
Where the Spirit of the Lord isn't, there is bondage. You say, well, the state's just storing up food to keep us safe, really? You don't think food is a control mechanism? You don't think Joe Biden, when he said we're going to have to wear mandatory masks, you don't think there's a caveat of control behind that? You don't think when food shortages hit and they say, hey, coach, you and your family, you're welcome. Come on down here to the government building, coach, and we'll give you and your family some food. But, oh, coach, you have had that vaccination, haven't you, coach? See what's going
on?
See, folks?
Do you have the mask on?
You got the mask on, you've had the vaccination. And Christians poo-poo this. I would love to do a survey of American Christian churches who have spoken about this issue and whose pastors then don't say the solution is the rapture. We're out of here. Gonna be a lot of people starve before the rapture comes. That's what I think.
That's the plan, coach.
Remember that chip. That chip is not the mark of the beast. Believe me. Listen to me. That chip is not the mark of the beast. It isn't. It isn't. I'm telling you. Believe me. Right.
Whatever it is, it's about control, isn't it? It's about control.
And where did Washington State get the money to be able to buy that food, coach?
I wonder. I wonder if it came from the people.
And why don't they want you to stockpile it? Because they don't want you to stockpile it, do they?
Too late, I already did.
Can't let you break the chains, brother.
Right. Hey, folks, remember, where the Spirit of the Lord isn't, there's bondage. Is the Spirit of the Lord in the American government? Would anybody out there say that the Spirit of the Lord is in American government?
It would be a lie.
It would be a lie. It would be a lie. There isn't. There isn't. There's no spirit, very little Spirit of the Lord in American government. So what's the antonym? Where the Spirit of the Lord isn't, there's bondage. Folks, we're being led into bondage.
If they got a spirit of the right, Coach, but it's not holy.
Hey, Dale, I got to tell you something about you.
Go ahead.
Randy said this yesterday, and I just want to acknowledge this publicly. When Randy, I was on the phone with him yesterday, he said, you know what I appreciate about Pastor Dale? He always brings balance. And I got thinking about that, Dale. You always do. You are great at centering us, bringing back balance. And we need that, because I can tell you, I have a tendency to run. I run off the edge many times, both ways, bounce back and forth, sometimes like a ping pong ball. And I just want you to know that Randy acknowledged that. And I said, yeah, that's true. I got to say something public about that. So I appreciate you, Dale.
Amen.
Always bringing balance, man. Always bringing balance.
Coach, I just want to let you know, and Randy and Mark, brother, I have gleaned and I have grown. I'll tell you what, one of the worst things a person can do is stop growing and stop learning. Mm. Brother, what you did 2 years ago about allowing the congregation to enter into brother, there's just no longer no services in my Sunday morning that other people aren't interacting, and guests come in, they go, this is just incredible. Yeah. You know why? Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty.
Amen. So when you walk into church, you ought to have the liberty to say what the Lord's put on your heart, right? That goes back to, and is it Corinthians somewhere where it says, everybody comes, everybody has a prayer, everybody has a song, everybody has a word. That's what it's supposed to be. And you know what one of my great prayers would be? Is that we could get pastors to listen to this show. Not because I'm going to bring a bunch of wisdom to it, but the wisdom that's in here. And they would hear the hearts of the people that they're supposed to be shepherding and leading. If a pastor would come in here and just sit silently and not do anything other than just listen for a month, I believe it would radically transform his ministry. I really, really believe it. I believe it. Because in the multitude of many counselors, multitude, that means many. In the multitude of them is great wisdom. And Dale, you may be wise, but you ain't got it by yourself, bud. and I may be wise, but I don't have it by myself. And Larry may be wise, but he doesn't have it by himself. It's all of us together working out our own salvation, all of us with fear and trembling, and being able to be watchmen on the wall and see. And I say, you know, Dale, I see this. And Randy says, I see this. And Alan says, I see this. And Trump says, I see this. And we come to some type of consensus. What is this that we see as watchmen? Because if you're a watchman, one guy is sitting up high in a tower watching. There's another guy laying down low in the bottom of the valley. He's watching down there, and he has a different perspective. There's another guy who's across the river, and he's watching the river, and he has a different perspective of it. Why do we think that we can come into a church and get one guy's perspective on it week after week after week and grow? Come on.
Hey, Coach, what you said, if a pastor could come here and listen for a month, they can't. They got to be in control.
And sadly, some are. And I you know.
Well, Coach, whenever you've learned it all, you don't need to learn anymore when you know it all.
Yeah. But you know, the truth is, it's dangerous, right? It's dangerous. Meaning, sometimes you don't want to teach what you don't know. You don't want to go where you can't explain. And I think, again, my people were destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And so the average pastor probably would never have the courage to talk about the Nephilim like we did the other day, or the what do they want to call it? The antediluvian world, a world here before God. No, most guys are never going to go there because they don't have the ability to answer the questions that people are going to ask. And that's what I love about the queue. I ask the questions and then you ask the questions. And somehow at the end of the show, when the show's over, we still don't know all the truth, but we have a better grasp of it. We have a broader understanding of this thing, which is what we ought to all seek. Not a Bible says that I believe it, that settles it. Because that dude, that just isn't true. Just isn't true.
This is real worship, Coach. This is how it's supposed to be done.
Amen. Yeah. And those parts of the Bible that the pastors don't teach are part of the history that's being erased.
That's right. We need it, Mark. Mark, they're erasing that history just like
they're
these
erasing
young.
It.
They're yep. pulling down statues. They're pulling down statues today in America, and there have been statues pulled down in the past, unfortunately.
So imagine a King Biden Bible. What parts would be removed?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We've already He just gave an edict. Wear a mask, even though they don't work.
Well,
imagine if we could do this in church once a week. Imagine if we could do what we're doing right now in church once a week. It would be amazing. It would change the world. It would
change. Mark Trump, your mic drop moment. Imagine a King Biden Bible. Now, there's a whole lot of people that put a whole lot of super on the King James Bible, but he was just a man. In fact, he was a pretty evil man if you look at his personal history. He was just a pretty evil man that wanted to control the religion in his realm, so he ordered that a new translation be made in his name, not in God's name.
Yeah, and also, and also keep think of this. Let's cut King James some slack. Think what information they were operating off of. They didn't have an internet. They didn't have a library. They didn't have a search engine. And so they were trying to compile everything in that scriptures from what they were able to, the knowledge that was before them. I'm not making fun of the King James Bible. I use the King James. But just like when John in the book of Revelation, when he tries to explain these things, grasshoppers, and he doesn't have the ability to explain them. He has no words for it. A flying machine? What? A flying machine looks like a grasshopper? What? Now we say, well, that's a helicopter. Well, he had never seen a helicopter. He didn't know what a helicopter is. But the Bible was written based on limited knowledge from these guys doing the best they could. Holy Ghost inspired, for sure. For sure.
The one thing that they didn't...
Go ahead.
They had never lived in freedom. They knew nothing of freedom. So their entire mindset, their entire cultural perspective is the divine right of kings.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And Coach, I use the King James mostly too. Absolutely. But I'm just pointing at the fact that some people put that word approved where King James approved the Bible. Some folks equate that to God approved that Bible. The King James translation is another tool that allows the Holy Spirit opportunity, the Holy Spirit of God, the opportunity to drill truth into your life.
So I'm not here to argue about which interpretation. That's not the point. The point is the knowledge that they wrote from to where we are today. That's the point I'm trying to make. Somebody come on in.
Hey, coach. Look at how many people bring their Bibles to church. Everybody ties into an electronic Bible. An electronic Bible can be manipulated and said, well, we can't allow this to go over the internet because it doesn't meet the standards like they have up in Canada where you can't preach against homosexuality. We have to understand, we sold the right to the internet at the end of the Obama administration.
Right.
We owned it. And we let it go. And that was Republicans and Democrats that did that. So we have no free speech by the internet because we don't enforce it because we sold it to the United Nations. We gave it to them. And so people don't even bring their Bibles. So what they do when they look at their phone and you tell, and you know what we used to in 20 years ago, how many people used to bring their Bibles to church?
Mm-hmm.
The majority of them. And you know what? If you have a brother that's in Christ and you look over there and you see that binding on his Bible is all bent up and everything like that, and it's highlighted and marked in and all that, you know you're dealing with someone who looks at the Bible seriously.
However, Craig, however, I agree with all that. However, folks, we cannot be afraid of extra biblical sources. In other words, sources outside the Bible. Folks, listen, there is truth outside the Bible. There is truth. Truth is true. It's everywhere, right? So if you were to pick up the book of Enoch or the book of Giants or the book of the Maccabee, whatever, if you were to pick those up, there is truth contained within them. Now, whoever said, we're not going to make that part of the Bible, that's a different issue. But to say that Enoch wrote a book and it has no truth in it, that's dangerous. That's a very, very dangerous position to take.
To say that Coach Dobemeyer has a show and there is no truth in it is not only dangerous, it's ridiculous.
Right. That's right. Thank you, Larry. The exact same point. So we take these extra biblical sources. A lot of times we take them for confirmation, right? We love to say to people, well, Jesus lived. Read your history. He was a real guy. Well, that's an extra biblical source, isn't it? When you go to history books, isn't that an extra biblical source confirming the truth of what you're reading inside the scriptures? Sure it is. And so I think, again, we have become, oh God, this sounds like heresy. Folks, there's more to the world than this. This thing is a guide. This thing within these pages contains truth within these pages. But there's truth other places too. There's truth other places. If I read in Genesis 6 and it says that there were giants in the earth in those days and also after, and then I find an extra biblical source that confirms it, all they can say is, well, that's not the Bible. That's not the Bible.
That's exactly how I approach many of the unbelievers, coaches. I ask them, I said, do you believe in Caesar Augustus and the history of Caesar? Oh, yeah, because we were taught that in school. Well, let me turn you to the New Testament and the time frame, because all it does is affirm the person and the deity of God. Now, you know, we talk on Sunday morning, coach. You ready? Break yourself. Enoch.
Because it's an extra biblical source confirming the truth in this book.
Do you remember Paul Harvey, coach?
The rest of the story,
Page 2. He always had page 1, then there was a commercial, and then page 2 filled out the rest of the story.
That's right. That's what we try to do here. That's all I try to do here, folks. That's all I try to do here. And you know, I look around. Maybe it's because, see, about 10 years ago, I'm telling you the truth about me now. 10 years ago, I'd never heard of Nephilim. I mean, I'd heard of them. I didn't know. I had no idea that these earthworks that I grew up around my whole life, these mound builders, these mounds built by the Hopewell Indians, we just assumed it was the Hopewell Indians. They all told us it was, right? Well, why? Why'd they tell us that? Well, it was an extra biblical source, wasn't it? Wasn't it an extra biblical source that told us that wasn't Genesis 6? That was an extra biblical source. Well, what if I find an extra biblical source that says that was created by the giants? Is that not just as valid as the extra biblical source that says it wasn't created by the giants? Right? So when my eyes begin to open up to this stuff, it first began to open up, and my first reaction was, you know, somebody hadn't been telling me the truth, or not all the truth. And I began to dig down into it. Oh my goodness. And then my eyes opened up. A whole new realm of truth opened up to me. Now, the reason a whole new realm of truth isn't opening up to you is nobody's ever shared it with you. And you go to church. I could flip right here. I'm in Matthew 17, and I'm going to read verse 20, and I'm going to pick this Matthew 17, verse 20, and it says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I shall say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. I could read that and then preach on that. I could do a whole sermon on that. And that's what they do in church. That's what they do in church. A whole sermon on that. And examples of how nothing shall be impossible to you. And then tell a story about, I knew this guy didn't have any legs. And boy, he did it. Why? Because nothing will be impossible to you. And we never move beyond the four walls of the book to what's going on in the world. The book explains the world. And oh, man. So I run, I appreciate Randy's phone call because I know a lot of people out there saying I'm a heretic and heretical. And I tell you when I know it's the truth, and I tell you when I know it's not the truth. And I lay it on the table and say, hey, chew on this thing, see how it tastes, and let me know what you think. Because if this stuff's real, I want to know it.
Hey, Coach, are you a heretic if you're exploring and seeking and teaching and learning these things? Or are you a heretic if you avoid them and don't teach them? Because, see, they're not taught it in cemetery. They're not taught it. They're not shown it by their parents. Mm-hmm. So these pastors have never learned it. So what's given them the impetus to learn the Word of God on their own? That's called the Holy Spirit. So do they have that?
Well, see, Randy, Mark, they've been taught. Here's the way I see it. They've been taught to shepherd the people. And that means rub their back, make them feel good, and help them get through dangerous, hard times. That's really what it is. I wouldn't want to be a pastor because I couldn't rub grown men's backs all the time. I couldn't do it, right? And so because they've been taught that's what they're supposed to do, that's what they do. And they don't go to some of this other stuff because it's uncomfortable.
Well, Coach, the problem isn't about the problem that they're shepherding the sheep. The three points that Jesus pointed out to Peter was to shepherd, feed, and to protect. But the fact of the matter is they don't let other giftings to flow. In other words, you can be the head coach, but don't you have an offensive coach? Don't you have a defensive coach? Don't you have a special teams coach?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's what what they have at the church. They call it youth minister, not couples minister, right? All right. I mean, it's just Isaiah 56. Go there, Mike. Isaiah 56.
Coach, how many books in a Catholic book versus the King James?
Say it again, Joseph. I'm sorry. How many books in
how
a Catholic book?
How many books that are in a Catholic book, Bible, versus the King James?
Can I tell you the truth, Joseph? I grew up Catholic and I don't know if I ever saw a Catholic Bible in my life. I'm telling you the truth. When I was in the Catholic Church, they didn't teach out of the Bible. They taught, what do they call it? Catechism. They called their catechists. They didn't teach me the Bible. So I don't know that. Isaiah 56, 10.
Joseph.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
How many commandments in the Ten Commandments, in the Catholic Ten Commandments versus the Protestant Ten Commandments?
Yeah, that's true. They're not even the same, are they?
No.
Verse 10, his watchmen are blind. Now, who are they? Who are God's watchmen? Well, we say it's the pastors. Well, that's not all totally true, is it? He said, Son of Man, I set you as a watchman. That's Isaiah, isn't it? Son of Man, I believe it was. Son of Man, right? We're all watchmen. If you're a Christian, you're a watchman. The Bible says his watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. What's a dumb dog? It's a dog that can't bark. We have some dumb dogs in America's pulpits, you think? Huh? They can lick, they can whine, they can moan, but they can't even bark. They're dumb. Hey, do you bark? Gosh.
Hey, they file their teeth off in seminary, Coach. They file their teeth off.
Oh, yeah. They can't bark. They're sleeping. They're lying down. Who is? The blood watchman. They love to sleep. Yep. They're greedy dogs, which can never have enough. And they're shepherds that cannot understand. Wow. They all look to their own way. That's why they closed down the church during coronavirus season. Everyone for his own gain. They may end up in jail if they don't do that. From his own perspective. I want to look good to everybody in town. So when churches do back open back up, everybody will come to my church because I was such a good citizen. Come, they say.
Gluttony.
Or they say, stay home. Stay home and drink your wine and eat your food. And soon they'll open the church and it'll be better than it ever was. Those are blind watchmen. That's what we're dealing with. Say, Coach, man, you're beating on pastors. I'm not beating on pastors. I'm beating on you. I'm beating on our watchmen. I'm beating on those of us who are watchmen who allow the false shepherds to continue to preach false messages. We're just as at fault. I got 4 minutes. I've been all over the place. I appreciate you guys letting me vent.
Hey, Dave. The events of the world are going to be converging to make the people start asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is who's going to have the answers? And it's going to be the people who are walking with the Lord and can explain it to them and show them through the scriptures what's going on.
Hey, real quickly, Jared, go to Psalm 2. And I want to use this just kind of as a test measure. Just kind of as a test. How many of you think that you could right now walk out into a group of unbelievers and explain this? Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Now, I'm going to tell you this. This is what I think. If you can't explain that to the lost world, you got no business sharing the gospel with them.
Amen.
If you can't explain that, because that right there tells you what's going on. And if you can explain this to people so that they can recognize what's going on around them, now they might be open to the other side. But until they know that, and if they think church is just rules and regulations and being nice to people and not cussing and not taking drugs and not drinking beer, if that's what they think it is, who's going to want that? They're not going to want it. Say, boys and girls, we are in a war and there are other kings in this earth and they have set themselves. Oh, man. Any builders out there? Is Randy in here? Randy? I don't know if he is or not. He's always in. He's always listening at some point. Maybe some.
I'm here, Coach.
Hey, Randy, what does it mean to let concrete set? What does that mean, Randy?
It's going to get hard, and you better be ready to work it. You're in trouble. It's going to be ugly.
And the kings of this world, what have they done, Randy? They've set themselves, brother. Huh? Ooh, boy, I got goosebumps on that. They've set themselves. They've hardened themselves. They've put those beams in, and they've let that concrete harden around it. They are dug in, baby. And not only are they dug in, they're taking counsel together. And who are they taking counsel together against? Why, the Lord and his anointed. And if you can't explain that, stop sharing the gospel.
Good analogy, Coach.
Amen, Coach. Straight up. I tried posting 1 Corinthians 6:9 in a forum yesterday. It got removed. Imagine that.
What is 1 Corinthians 6:9, Vinny?
1 Corinthians 6:9 is all the people who will not gain the kingdom.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to be doing that, right? They won't like it. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Now, because you've listened here, you know what the kingdom of God is, right? It's not just heaven. It's not just heaven. The unrighteous can't have the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy. They can't have it right here now, right? Being not deceived. Fornicators can't enter the kingdom of God. Idolaters can never have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Adulterers can't have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The effeminate can never have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Abusers of themselves, they can never have it. They can never have it. But see, we tell them it's heaven. Oh, my goodness.
Amen, Coach. That's good. That's good.
Well, Randy, you know what I'm going to chew on all day? The kings of this earth have set themselves. Boys, the enemy is dug in, and we're going to have to root him out. Didn't we start with reading that? Root out, pluck up, pull out, send. Where was that, Mike? Can you find that one again? Because the rulers. The other guys, they've set themselves, baby. They're concreted in. And he said, see, I set you this day over the nations. And you go to those guys who did that, and you dig them out, man. And you break up that concrete, and you pull down those beams that they've built, and you destroy everything that they've done, and you throw it down. And then you plant and you build. All right. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Amen. See you tomorrow.